Libyan rebels take Tripoli, and a new economy emerges.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. Anticipation of a rebel victory in Libya is pushing oil prices down this morning. They're at about $82 a barrel. And with Colonel Muammar Gaddafi out of the picture, the world could regain an important oil supplier, as Stephen Beard reports.
Before the conflict, Libya was supplying around 2% of daily global demand for crude oil. During the conflict, that supply dwindled to a trickle. European refineries in particular scrambled to find replacement oil, and that helped push crude prices higher earlier this year. Now traders are betting that when Gaddafi falls, what's left of Libya's oil industry will swiftly resume production. Nick McGregor is an oil analyst with brokers Redmayne Bentley.
The market probably expects around half of the previous Libyan export levels to be resumed relatively quickly. I think that it will take longer to establish exactly how long before production can return to previous levels, depending on infrastructure damage.
But he says the biggest downward pressure on the price of oil is coming not from the hope that Gaddafi will soon fall, but from the fear that oil demand will diminish as the European and the US economies slip back into recession. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
After more than 40 years of Gaddafi rule, the Libyan economy will need a lot to get back on its feet. Here to talk with us about that is Shadi Hamid. He's the director of research at the Brookings Institution's Doha Center, and he joins us now. Good morning, Shadi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. We just heard a moment ago from Stephen Beard about oil in the Libyan economy. Besides oil, what does the Libyan economy look like?
Well, the Libyan economy is underdeveloped. It suffered from decades of neglect under the Gaddafi regime. International isolation and sanctions have had a very negative effect in that regard. So Libya is still overly dependent on its oil and energy sector. So I think we'll continue to see that distortion in the economy, and that will be a big challenge for the transitional government to diversify Libya's economy.
What will it take to get Libya's economy back up and running?
Well, it will take good governance. International support is going to be crucial. Libya has to rebuild, and it's going to take billions and billions of dollars. And that's why follow-through from the international community and donors and international institutions like the World Bank and the IMF are going to be critical at this phase. The Transitional Council has been wanting funds to be released, frozen assets from the Gaddafi regime. That's taken a long time. So there is the kind of bureaucratic red tape. That's why getting the necessary funding to the transitional government is going to be crucial right now.
A lot of countries have had a hard time rebuilding, even with resources after a corrupt regime. Do you think Libya will fall victim to that problem, or do you think it's in a different situation?
Well, no one said it was going to be easy. I think we have to remember that even in the midst of all this euphoria, democratic transitions are messy and uncertain and oftentimes even bloody. So I think we should kind of keep our expectations low.
Shadi Hamid is the director of research at the Brookings Institution's Doha Center. Shadi, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
You don't have to hide under the covers this morning. The markets are looking up. London's FTSE is up 1%. Germany's DAX, which got hammered last week, is up a bit. News the Federal Reserve might intervene to keep the U.S. economy from dipping back into a recession has our markets poised to go up. I don't have to tell you about last week. The Dow Jones Industrial Average ended Friday down 1.5% to 10,817. Bank stocks took a huge beating, too. More bad news on that front this morning. Hopes of settling some of the legal issues surrounding foreclosures have hit a snag. At issue is whether the banks would get legal immunity from state officials for mortgage-related claims. Federal and state officials are seeking penalties of $20 billion and more from Bank of America, JP Morgan Chase, and others.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering Pop Money, a way to pay other people online by sending an email or text. Learn more at allybank.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com. For a unique look at all of our Marketplace business and economic sustainability coverage, visit marketplace.org and click on the Sustainability tab.
Only 60% of rural Americans have access to broadband. Today, the Department of Agriculture is announcing millions of dollars for small communities throughout the country to change that. Jennifer Collins has more.
Steph Larson lives on a farm in Nebraska. To get internet there, she had to build a Wi-Fi receiver.
One of our neighbors happened to have a 30-foot utility pole that he wasn't using, so we bartered, I think it was a bushel of cherries.
And even now, Larson's internet is barely fast enough to stream a Netflix movie. Today, Nebraska is one of 16 states that will get USDA money to provide broadband. Kurt Scharf is a tech analyst with Parks Associates. He says large telecom companies won't offer high-speed internet if they can't get enough subscribers to pay for the infrastructure.
In some cases, you do need a government entity to come in and basically subsidize services to these smaller rural and underserved areas.
Steph Larson, whose day job is with the Center for Rural Affairs, says today's announcement is not enough.
There's still so many people who can't access customers, they can't access their legislators, they can't access government grants because they don't have internet access.
Because she says it's hard to get ahead today with an internet connection from the 1990s. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, the king is dead. Burger King is dropping its king mascot, you know, the one with the oversized head and the big smile. BK says it's going to focus more on the freshness of its food to appeal to mothers and healthy eaters and focus less on the creepy grinning king. I don't know why that wasn't selling burgers. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The drought in Texas threatens agriculture and the dinner table.
For every cow that a rancher is forced to sell, you know, that cow's not going to have a calf next year. That calf won't become a steak.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Texas Heat Wave. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.